Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Nick and Sue White here, and it's great to be with you. We'd like to say thank you to Jamie for giving us this opportunity to send you our best wishes. For those of you that don't know, we are moving house north to Leeds very soon and bringing to an end, we think, 34 years a part of the church at Shore Community Church, and this is probably the last time that we'll be able to give you our best wishes and to share a few thoughts before we leave.
It's true. So some of you know, but some of you won't know, but amazingly we managed to secure a buyer for our current house and to find a house in a really pretty village 6 miles east of Leeds. A bit of an unusual experience during lockdown, so it was a virtual viewing, which was a bit unusual. So it was the owner with an iPad on FaceTime showing us around the house, and as soon as we finished the call we just talked and realised that this was just a house that we really wanted to pursue. And the next day, in faith, we made an offer, which was accepted that day. So on we go. I mean, thankfully, a couple of weeks ago, we were able to make the trip north so we could see our family, our daughter and son-in-law and gorgeous granddaughter live in Leeds. So we were able to go and see them and to see the house. And that just kind of secured in us that this is our next home.
Good. And we're packing. We're putting our life in boxes. So Mrs. White has some packing to do, so I'm going to send the wife packing while I share a few thoughts with everyone, mainly reflections on our life as part of the church in Bognor. Regular viewers will know that we've been following a series called The Way, and it's been a brilliant series led by Jamie and Nick and others, exploring all sorts of routes and pathways through faith. I'm not going to be following that series today. Rather, today is more of a stopover in a lay-by. Perhaps see it as a time to stretch your legs, have a coffee, have a bit of a gaze around, reflect on where we've come from and where we're going, because that very much is where we are currently at the moment. Of course, if this were part of the series, then I'd quite like to give a title like The Way Up North, as some people say it. My favourite would be The Way of the Whippet. However, I've been reined in on such frivolity, so my title really is quite simply Journeys. And I'm going to reflect on a number of journeys that we've encountered over our time in the church. But most recently, I want to reflect on a sermon preached by Reverend Nicholas Drury just a year ago, around about June last year. And it was a really powerful word, really spoke to me about living a liminal life. I won't review it all, you can maybe find it online, but the Latin word limin, meaning threshold, and it's about living a life when you're neither one thing nor another, when you're going from one state or point to a future state. And it's not something to whiz by and to get over and done with. Nick really unpacked how important it was to, when you're making these changes of thresholds from one place to another, it's a liminal living, a liminal life is something to enjoy, something to draw some depth from. So I really want to share with you some thoughts about my existence and my liminal life over the past year. Obviously, we've had 34 years as part of the church. Our family has grown, and we've lived and loved all of our life with the church at Shore Community Church. And there's a lot of stories to tell in those 34 years. And all of that is underpinned by that inspirational wilderness journey that the Israelites took from slavery to freedom, led by Moses and Aaron, through all sorts of trials and tribulations, learning to rely on God. And that really underpins a lot of our reflection. But I do want to hit you with the three Baptist bullet points, and box it, move it, and eat it are the three key points that I want to consider today. And really, this sums up pretty much how we feel about this moment that we leave our time in Bognor. And it's a bit like having a brilliant meal at your favourite restaurant. You know, lovely atmosphere, gorgeous food, great company, and a lovely meal can be extremely fulfilling. And you can get to the point where you say, oh, I feel replete. I feel so satisfied. This has been superb. And yet, there's more food. You can't eat it all. Now, typically, when I get to that point, I'll often say in a meal, oh, I'll just leave the rest. And so we'll be the ones to say, no, you can ask for a box and you can take it home. And I'll always be, no, don't make a fuss, just leave it. But I think she's right. You can ask for a box. You can put the remainder of the meal in and you can take it with you and you can enjoy it later. The idea of last night's pizza being today's pizza lunch. And for us, that kind of typifies where we're at. We've had such a fulfilling life at Shore Community Church. We want to box it up, take it with us, and continue to be nourished up in Leeds. And as soon as we've moved in and we've turned the internet on, we'll be logging in the first Sunday to join in with you guys, because we wish to continue our relationship. So that's the main structure of what I want to say today. But I'm going to start by asking you a simple question. Where were you in October 1986? Small pause. Now, if you were, for example, Derek and Miranda Cormell, I know because I checked with them, you were just making your own house change. You moved from Tangmere to Bognor around about that time, and you started coming to the church at the same time as we did, because the Cormells and the Whites were of the same vintage. However, if you are the Drurys, you're looking at that date thinking, what does it mean? Like the last century? The Drurys would have to go back through their history GCSE notes to find out what period of time that was and what was going on, because you weren't even considered then. For us, we started coming to church in October 86, and if you could see two fresh-faced, newly married, newly appointed teachers walking into the building in Victoria Drive, we just endured a 3-mile cycle ride from Felpham, where we were renting a little house, into a stiff headwind, hair everywhere, makeup all over the place. And that was just me. And we walked into the church. Very different it was then. It was turned sideways to how it is now. So the stage was down the right hand side of the church. And most of the congregation sat with their back to what are the patio doors, and there was pews along the sides. Above where the sound desk is now, above that glazed wall, that there was an organ loft up there, a huge organ in it, and some seating. And I remember that the organist had a little wing mirror to one side so that he could see into the church to see what was going on. I remember his name, Malcolm. He was a very, very competent organist. But down on the floor next to the stage in the body of the church, there was an old grand piano, slightly honky-tonk tuning, played by Gordon Mead with his hearing aid, and as two recently graduated music graduates, and we'd sit there and we'd listen to this organist and this pianist fighting for supremacy with at least half a second time lag, playing at different speeds, usually in the same key, And we'd sit and look at each other and say, what is going on here? It was quite amusing at times. And now you've heard it yourselves, the quality of musicianship, you've witnessed it yourself. It's almost recording quality. In fact, it is recording quality. It's beautiful sound. And we've played our part in contributing to music and worship over the years. But there's just a huge tradition, a huge litany of wonderfully talented, passionate musicians, and the quality of music and worship that we've seen develop over those 30 years. You know, we would be delighted to watch that continue to blossom and bear fruit. So, yes, Mrs. White is boxing up as we speak. I can hear the parcel tape being ripped, and we've cleared the loft. Oh, what a job that was. I've swept the garage. I've still got the shed to sort out, but we are busily putting our lives into boxes. We've had trips to the tip, and we've been to the charity shops, and we've thinned it down to what we feel now is everything that we need, and we're going to box it up, put it on the truck and get it to Leeds so that we can start a new life. And the whole kind of therapeutic process of packing your life into boxes has been really, it's been really remarkable. Obviously, you from time to time you pick up an old box of photos and you pause and you reflect back over holiday photos or photos of childhood, and they can be really meaningful. But as for some of the other stuff we found, I think, why do we buy all this kit? We don't need half this. But the idea of boxing things up has really been thought-provoking. I know that in counselling and general therapeutic terms, rather than to be overwhelmed by, you know, anxiety, or rather than suffer the deluge, a lot of therapeutic approaches to take your issues and your difficulties and box them up and compartmentalise them so that you can deal with them when you have the resources and the time, and the time feels right, rather than be completely overwhelmed all the time. So it is a sensible way of dealing with life, and that draws me to the Israelites, because I'm pretty sure that when they first set out from an escaped slavery, Moses and Aaron leading the way across the Red Sea, they'd have been, come on, this is brilliant, we're loving all this. And then a bit of hunger struck, and then the grumbling started. You know, we were better off back there because we had food. And it just makes me ponder that grumble would have started with somebody casting that first thought of doubt. And it could have been somebody late at night muttering, trying to drift off to sleep, and his wife half listening, or maybe two guys out in the field just sort of shooting the breeze, wondering, oh, do you feel what I feel? Would it be better off where we would have gone back? Now, at the first sign of that doubt, somebody could have said, no, don't be like that. Box that concern up, put a lid on it, put it to one side, and we'll deal with it later. Because if it gets out, it'll go like wildfire and everybody will start grumbling. And of course, that's what happened. The whole nation started to grumble. And actually, as that story unfolds, as I'm sure you're aware, God says to Moses, look, I've heard your grumble and I'm going to feed you. I'm going to send you manna and quail. So actually, in that circumstance, it was the right time in order to establish that relationship between the nation of Israel and God as they explored through the desert and the wilderness what it was that God really wanted for them. It was the right time to get things out into the open. But as I reflect back on my working life, my time as a church leader, family times, sometimes putting something in a box and tidying it up and leaving it to one side so that you can deal with it later is just a reflection that can be the right thing to do. It takes courage sometimes and humility to put things to one side. And it requires wisdom to decide when is the right time to deal with things. And that's something I will continue to learn to do. Obviously, boxing things up leads us into moving, because once we've got all our boxes, I can't show you everywhere, but every room is full of boxes. Once that's up on the truck, we will be moving. So we'll be off. We'll be in transit. Moving has been something that I've recognised within myself. I'm a keen runner. I do like riding my bike, and throughout my teaching career, I've moved from school to school. I've not just been a restless person. I've always looked for how long should I stay in this place, and when's the next opportunity coming. I've always been having an eye on the horizon, and I've already said that the church has physically moved itself from the sideways back to the front facing orientation that it is now, and I guess over time there'll be more movement. We don't just mean physical movement, but movement in position as well. The constant movement of, for example, a shark needing to aerate its gills, and a whale needing to harvest plankton, movement and life and searching and constantly seeking, that seems to be, to me, a very healthy way to live. I've reflected on those people and those situations that have become very heavy and very static and overburdened, and it starts to lose momentum. And I've over time really grasped the idea of movement and not monument. And certainly the story of the Israelites moving through their tortured journey across wilderness deserts. It took a very strange route. And if anybody wanted to do a time and motion study, you'd say it's a dreadful route, because there's where you start and there's where you end, and it could be really efficient and really quick. But that wasn't the point. Theirs was a wilderness journey. Theirs was a journey of exploration and of purification and trying to work things out, not just an efficient transition journey. And as I reflect, for the final few months of my working life working with different schools, I had to spend maybe 6 months getting over to a school in Worthing every morning. And getting across Bognor, Littlehampton, into Worthing in early morning rush hour, oh, sometimes it could take 2 hours. And I remember I had the car sat nav, I had my phone sat nav, just in case there was a bit of a difference, and my own local knowledge. And I'd be looking for any snarl-ups. I'd be totally focused on getting there in the shortest possible time. And it became almost literally tunnel vision. It's the end, it's the destination I'm focusing on. And I used to get so caught up in saving the odd minute here, or the turn right and you can dip down a little rat run and get there sooner. And it became an obsession, the efficiency and the speed at which we get there. And I think journeys where you are so focused on the end point, you can just forget who you're with, what you've just passed, what you may have just seen. And I've finished full-time work, so I now have the luxury of not having to be driven by my diary. And now I can take some time. And I have been walking and riding my bike. And when you go somewhere, just go the long way. Who cares if it takes 5 more minutes? Being open and being much more aware of what's around, I'm pretty sure that's what the purpose was behind the wilderness journey. It's to loosen our grip, it's to change our focus, it's to make us think and experience differently in our journey. And I know that the pillars of fire and cloud were those guiding lights, and it strikes me in their movements that they were looking up and looking ahead. And that's something that I've drawn on in my journey through my church life and through my spiritual development. Not looking down, not staring at feet, not getting so, dragged down by things, but looking up and looking ahead and being very aware of spiritual guidance, spiritual prompting, and the prompting the word of others. This has really helped my spiritual development over time. And finally, eat it. I've already said, like a wonderful meal. We have just experienced such a rich diet from all the ministers and all the speakers that we've experienced in our time at the church. The richness and the nourishment that we have luxuriated in over time has just been extraordinary. In fact, I was playing a little game. You know, 34 years. 52 weeks a year. Oh, blimey, hang on a minute. But hang on, you've got to take off summer holidays, and then there's extra bits at Christmas. And in fact, in the 90s, we had two morning services and an evening service. And then a little bit later on, we had a Saturday evening service. And then for a while, it stepped back to one in the morning, one in the evening, and now we have one. So it's really complicated. So try to work out how many sermons we've enjoyed. It's just some really, really hard maths to work out the total number of sermons that we've experienced. It turns out the answer is really quite straightforward. Loads, just loads, plenty. We've had an absolute feast, an abundance, and so much that we want to box them up and take it with us. And I really want to encourage you to get behind and support all those who speak, because there is just so much for you to feed on that will give you nourishment, and that's something that we want to enjoy as we go forward. Logging in, I'm a great fan of the tech project. I've given some money to that because I really, really do want to see your broadcast services. But in terms of the provision, this is what we learn from the journey across the wilderness. God will provide. He's that kind of a God. You will get what you need. Sue and I have given up all our jobs, and so our income is drastically reduced, and we've still got what we need. And I love the idea that the manna was everything that they needed, and they could gather it twice in preparation for the Sabbath. But when they tried to sneakily gather more, it rotted away. So, you know, just don't try and store things up. You don't need it. God will provide everything that you need. And it did make me chuckle a little bit reading about how creative they had to be with the manna. It kind of feeds a little bit like a manna bake-off. You've got loaves, or you could grind it up, or you can make manna biscuits, or I expect there were manna pretzels, and the kids saying, "What's for tea, Mum?" Manna, oh, not again. The creativity required to keep people interested is one thing, but we bear testament to the fact that God is a provider, and he will continue to provide what you need for you and your family, what the church needs to achieve the mission, and we want to continue to feast on that with you over time. So there we go. There's just a few thoughts from myself. This is our life. Our children have been raised through the church. We've experienced all of our lives with you guys. It's been an absolutely brilliant journey. It's been our life. You have been part of our life. That life isn't going to come to an end simply because we are living somewhere else. We want to continue to share life with you. I don't know whether Mrs. White has finished any packing. She might need to join back in with us again. And what do you think?
Indeed. I'm going to just, I just kind of wanted to add a couple of my own thoughts, what's been going through my mind in this last little while. Nick said a lot of what's been going through my mind as well, but because I've been doing a lot of the packing and kind of undoing a house is a really interesting thing. We've actually been in this house almost 25 years, so, and the children have all grown up here, so kind of unpacking our lives and putting it in boxes has been a really unusual thing. Lots of memories, lots of photos, lots of distractions when we were doing the loft. You know, certain things came down and you had to sit and look through them rather than just putting them straight in a box. So that's been really good. But I've really been reflecting about what home is and what home means, really. And also the phrase where we say home is where the heart is. So I'm really passionate about the fact that I don't want us to say really big goodbyes. I mean, it's actually a blessing to me that we can do this on screen and not seeing all of your faces, if you'll forgive me, because I cry really easily and it would be rubbish and I would just be a puddle. So it's actually quite useful to be able to plan what we're going to say and prepare it and say it exactly from the heart. So home is where the heart is. I was reflecting that during lockdown, we've been very aware that church hasn't stopped, church hasn't closed. We haven't used the building, but church has continued. And that's how I kind of feel about home. Our home doesn't stop because we're putting things in boxes. As we've already said, we've had nearly 34 years here. We've brought our kids up. We've been, you know, a central part of the church with you guys. We've been blessed by you. You've supported us when we've been through good times, when we've been through difficult times. And so our heart is with you. Our heart is with Bognor and with the Shore Community Church. So that doesn't change because we will be living somewhere else. We're really looking forward to building a new home, setting up a new house. We're really looking forward to that. We're really looking forward to finding another fellowship that we can say to God, you know, where do you want us? What do you want us to be doing? Community is a very big deal for us. So a village community, how can we be God's hands and feet, if you like, in a new community? So that is really important. So, and there's also a very beautiful, almost two-year-old little girl who, to be honest, has had a bit of our heart for the last 2 years. So we're going to support our family. Nick's family are in Derbyshire as well. So we're going to, you know, invest some time in our family as well. But that doesn't mean that we cut off the home that we have in Bognor. And it's really clear to us that staying as part of your family is still really, really important to us. So we're not going to say a really big goodbye because we don't want to be honest. But we do want to say that thank you for supporting us, for standing with us, and please keep praying for us. Keep praying for us, keep standing with us. There's challenges to face, physical challenges for me particularly, some of you are aware of. Just really, really appreciate your prayer. And kind of the other way round, please be assured that we will be praying for you, supporting you, watching and cheering from a distance. And that will always be part of us. So we're not going to say a big goodbye. Instead, we're going to kind of just say, see you soon. Thank you. Bye.